I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. It's Thursday, and here at News and Notes, that means we get to talk about sports. And since it's late September, well, that means we'll be talking a lot about football. Here to help us grind out the gridiron news, Kevin Figures. He blogs about sports for AM570Radio.com, and Chad Brown. He writes for AlphaBlogSports.blogspot.com. Guys, nice to have you back.
Good to be back, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Chad?
Doing well, thanks.
All right. We're going to talk football to start with, and we're going to go from the boys to the men, if that's okay with you guys. And we're going to talk about some of the odd things that are happening in football, and not so nice, actually. Misbehaving would be one way to describe it. We're in the thick of football season at the moment, so there's a lot of news coming from the gridiron. The Young Bucks, I said, last Friday, for example, in suburban Washington, D.C., a football game ended in the third quarter when one of the coaches pulled his team off the field. His players say they were subjected to racial slurs from the other team. The Maryland Attorney General's office is, in fact, investigating right now. You heard about this, Kevin. Were you surprised when you saw this?
I was very surprised by it. It's not something that you really see a lot often, you know, today. I mean, you hear about, you know, there are racial tensions. And even at the same high school, I read that earlier in the last year, there were racial tensions between certain students with the Confederate flag and what have you. But it's not something you expect to see in today's world, you know.
That's absolutely true. And this is the Northeast, Chad. You're in the Northeast. Is this the kind of thing that you guys have happened up there?
No, it's not. I mean, not at that level. I mean, I'm sure we all did. I played high school growing up in the New York, New Jersey area, and I've never encountered anything quite like it. It's a sad commentary, and that it's not the first time something like this has happened is even more disturbing. If they want to write it off as trash talking, I think we all have a different definition of trash talking than they do. It's very disturbing, and I feel bad for this next team that's debating whether or not to go play on the field.
Absolutely right, and we're going to go from bad to worse with this next story, because last Friday right here in Los Angeles, shots rang out in a school parking lot at the end of a football game. One of the two victims had been a star on that team last year. Kevin, I'm turning to you first because you actually attended that high school, George Washington Preparatory High School in South L.A. What is going on? Is it not safe to go to a high school football game in Los Angeles anymore?
I mean, it's been that way for a while. I mean, I hate to say it because that is my school. It's my alma mater. I love the school and I love the area, but that place has been really riddled with like gang violence and things of that nature for years, even before I went there. I saw it when I did go there. I was in there, producer, earlier. I saw a student get shot down 20 feet away from me when I was a student at the high school. It's a really bad situation. I love the administrators. They work as hard as they can to make the environment as safe as they possibly can. But when you have something like that, and then especially something like you said, as a football game that's supposed to be a safe haven, something that gets kids away from the streets and things of that nature, it's really an unfortunate situation.
Well, when you were at the school, when things like this were happening, where people were being shot at games and in other situations, did it make you not want to go or make you not go to the stadium, to a game because of the danger?
At times it did. And because, like I said, because I loved my friends, I loved a lot of the administrators, I loved everything about the school. The problem was the things around the school, outside of the school, that kind of made you not want to go. But there are things inside the school that you love so much. But then when the surroundings are so bad, it's kind of a tough situation.
Chad, can you imagine that kind of a danger at a high school football game?
None that I've attended, but I have heard about it. It's unfortunate and it's sad, but that's not the first time I've heard of something like that happening. Nothing I've ever witnessed or anything happening at any school I attended. But it's a sad commentary when these two things get mixed up. One shouldn't be happening regardless of the venue, but to happen at a football game, I pretty much agree with everything Kevin said.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, this is not to say that there are problems at football games all over the country. Certainly they are not. The vast majority of them, I'm certain, are, you know, they're fun to go to. Even in Los Angeles, you can go to certain games in certain areas and not have any problems. But the reality is that certain areas, you may have a problem. Here's another story out of high school that's also disturbing. The entire coaching staff of Robertson High School's football team, this is in New Mexico, has resigned after it came to light that they had turned a blind eye to a particularly graphic hazing incident during preseason training camp. Six players on that football team are accused of sodomizing younger teammates with a broomstick, and the coaches turning a blind eye, as I said to it. That's just, it's crazy, isn't it, Kevin?
Yeah, it's something unheard of. And we all know about hazing. I mean, when I played football, I was hazed, but there's a difference between, you know, shaving somebody's head or doing all the, you know, the stuff in the jock strap and all that. But to do something like that to one of your teammates, that's embarrassing for the community, the school, all the students, you know. And then, like they said, the cheerleaders and other people from the school have to deal with all of these, you know, these slurs and chants and such at different events. It's a bad situation all around, and no student should have to deal with that kind of thing.
You know, Chad, I know these may be isolated incidents, or are they part of a larger cultural malaise that we're experiencing?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, because when I read all these stories, especially the last one, I was just stunned. I'd never heard of anything like this happening, even in movies where they mock sports or mock these things like that. But it very well could be an epidemic of a larger, very well could be part of a larger epidemic.
Of a larger problem. All right, let's move up to the college level. Top-ranked University of Southern California facing Oregon State tonight. Trojans coming off romps over Virginia and Ohio State. Are they going to run the table, Chad, do you think? I'll ask you, because Kevin's here in Southern California. We don't want to seem biased.
No, I understood. It's very possible. They've looked great in their first two games, but now they're starting in the Pac-10, and even Pete Carroll has come on and said this is not going to be a cakewalk. But I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe that they can't run the table. Now, crazy things can happen. We still have a long way to go, but they look very good right now. On the other hand, Oregon is coming off of a convincing win against Hawaii, so they'll probably look at this as a statement game. If they can beat them or slow them down, it would be huge for them. But I don't see anything stopping USC.
Well, USC certainly had its troubles up in Corvallis, Oregon. But looking at the AP and the coaches' polls right now, Kevin figures, USC number one, Oklahoma number two, Georgia consensus number three, Florida number four, AP has LSU at the five spot, and the coaches' poll has Missouri in the number five spot. Do you see any of them overtaking USC?
I don't see it, especially if USC runs the table. A lot of people are talking about how bad the Pac-10 has been this year and how that maybe hurt USC. But if USC continues to be as dominant as they have been the first couple of weeks of the season, I don't see there's any way that they get jumped unless they have another Stanford game like last year and lose somewhere in conference where they shouldn't have. That they should have no problem going to the national championship game this year.
All right, we'll see how it goes. Let's move on to the big boys, the NFL, and they have had some of their problems this year. There are some teams that haven't done so well. Let's see, Detroit, Cleveland, Kansas City. I know they haven't won a game yet. Oh, you can throw Cincinnati in there. You can throw who else did I mention? Did I say Cincinnati already?
You didn't say Cincinnati.
All right. St. Louis.
St. Louis, that's the other one. They haven't won a game, although Cincinnati and Cleveland – Kevin figures one of those guys is going to win this week because they're playing each other.
Absolutely, unless there's a tie. Well, I don't see that happening. But yes, yeah, it's been bad quarterback play on both sides for those teams. You just don't understand. I mean, the Cleveland Browns were one of the best offenses in the NFL last year. They won 10 games. There was a lot of debate of how good the Browns really were because 7 of those 10 wins last year came against teams with under 500 records.
Mm-hmm.
So they've never been that really great defensively. But you expected them to do a lot more offensively this season. And there was debate up until today whether or not Brady Quinn would actually become the starter this week, and Romeo Crennel did come out and say that Derek Anderson is going to keep his starting job.
Yeah, but if he doesn't play well, he's going to yank him before that game is over. You can count on that. Hey, Chad, let me ask you this. It looks like a couple of the teams who have not won at all, Kansas City and St. Louis, are going to continue that because Kansas City is going up against Denver. They haven't lost, and St. Louis is going up against Buffalo, and they haven't lost.
I just feel bad for the entire state of Missouri right about now, but I would have to agree. I don't see any progress coming from Kansas. The best thing I can say about Kansas City is they had a great draft, but they're probably not going to see the benefits of that for a couple of years. And immediately, St. Louis has announced they're going to put Trent Green in, which I've seen him play great before, but coming off of those concussions, I mean, this reeks of desperation. I think both cases they'd be better off just wiping the slate clean and starting from scratch. I don't really see any. At least Kansas City showed some signs of life against New England without Brady, but I haven't seen a thing from the Rams that convinces me they can turn this thing around.
I think that the NFC East matchup this week is the big game in the National Football League. Washington and Dallas. Washington 2-1, Dallas undefeated. That's a big game, though, for that division, isn't it, Kevin?
It's a huge game. That's probably the best division in the NFL this entire year. And so I believe there's only one team, the Eagles, that missed the playoffs last season, and they were 8-8. So it's going to be really tough to, you know, you have to get as many division wins as you can in that division, and it's going to be tough for the Washington Redskins. They looked good last week against Arizona, but there's a difference between playing Arizona and playing the Dallas Cowboys, who've looked unbeatable at times this year.
Before we leave football, we've got to talk very briefly about the Oakland Raiders and also about the Detroit Lions, because Matt Millen, who a former Raider, by the way, who won two Super Bowl rings with them and has been the president of the Lions for, what, 7 years now? At their record, 31-84, Chad, and he finally got the boot yesterday. Is that, like, too late?
Well, it's never too late. I'll say this about Matt Millen. For a GM, he was a heck of a broadcaster. But I don't know. I mean, this really should have happened a long time. This really should have happened a long time ago. It seemed like, and pardon the puns, it seemed like he was trying to fill the first receiver offense with all the picks that he made. And as I read somewhere today, firing him is a big step, but you still have the same brain trust that brought him in, still running the show, and the same brain trust that took 8 years to make this decision, still running this show. So I still think it's going to get a lot worse for Detroit before it gets better. But getting rid of Matt Millen was a necessary step, although bringing him in at the time, there was a lot of head scratching, and the heads were still scratching at the beginning of the season. To lose to the offensive coordinator you fired the week before, that had to be
good.
The bottom of the barrel.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen, a moment of silence, please. For the demise, the end, the closing, the tearing down of the venerable Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. Yankee Stadium closing after 85 years, the team moving across the street to its brand new home. Yankee team captain Derek Jeter had an emotional speech after the final game on Sunday. Here he is.
It's a lot of tradition, a lot of history, and a lot of memories. Now, the great thing about memories is you're able to pass it along from generation to generation. And although things are going to change next year, we're going to move across the street, there are a few things with the New York Yankees that never change. That's pride, it's tradition, and most of all, we have the greatest fans in the world.
Well, we've got to end with this, Chad. I know one thing that's changed for the New York Yankees. You know what it is?
They're not in the playoffs.
That's absolutely correct. Not going to the postseason and going home early. And if they don't make some changes, they won't be back to the postseason anytime soon, will they, Kevin?
No. They didn't have to fix that pitching staff. That pitching staff was an embarrassment this year. The offense has been there, but they couldn't pitch. And if you can't pitch, you can't win in the major leagues.
In fact, you know what? We may not have a New York team in the postseason this year. The Mets are their closest shot, and they're right now tied with Milwaukee for the wild card spot. Do you think, Chad, really quick, that the Mets are going to make it?
I want to say yes, but judging off of last year, there are no guarantees.
What do you say, Kevin?
I don't think the Mets will make it. Their bullpen is shot. It's when they lost Billy Wagner, that was the end of it for them.
Who you like in the World Series?
I like the Angels.
The Cubbies?
Angels and Cubs.
Angels and Cubs. Gentlemen, I appreciate having you in. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Kevin Figures blogs about sports for AM570Radio.com. Chad Brown writes for AlphaBlogSports.blogspot.com. They joined me, Kevin did, at our studios here in NPR West, and Chad is in New York at our NPR studios there.